face today shocks the moralist and the religious person. Why? For they consider themselves deserving of God's special treatment because they are, after all, the Jewish people, they are the chosen of God. But Paul explained that the law only makes their guilt that much greater. God did not give the law to the Gentiles, so they will not be judged by it. Actually, the Gentiles have the law written in their hearts. So wherever you travel on planet Earth today, friends, you'll find that people have an inner sense of right and wrong. And this inner judge, the Bible calls conscience. You find among most cultures a sense of sin, a fear of judgment, and an attempt to atone for those sins to whatever gods, small g, are feared. We see this amongst the Roman Catholic community. We see this amongst the Muslim people with Islam. And of course, we see this with pagan people. Remember this from chapter 1, verse 18. Look at verse 18 with me again. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, and God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now we know that this knowledge that God puts in man, the knowledge of his, that is spoken of when they look at His creation and the knowledge that they have of Him in their conscience, we know that this does not save man, but it only proves their guilt. Now, in more preparation for our text, the greatest verse in all of the Bible is probably John 3:16. Which says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not, what? Perish, but have everlasting life. That word perish in John 3:16 is the same word in our text today in verse 12. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish. Men need not perish. If they would come to Christ, they need not perish. But if they do not come to Christ, they must perish. They go, sadly, into eternal banishment, destruction, and condemnation. Now, we must remember, friends, in this section of Romans, that we are in the courtroom. The Apostle Paul is the prosecuting attorney as he is seeking to prove mankind's sin and guilt. Now, there is in legal language a phrase, a Latin phrase that is called in flagrante delicto. Now, that phrase simply means in blazing offense. We would say being caught in the very act. Or we would say being caught red-handed. What does that phrase red-handed mean? Being caught with blood on your hands. If you are aware of a moral code of righteousness, and based on Romans 1, 18 to 20, everyone is aware of a moral code of righteousness. If you are aware of a moral code of righteousness, then you are in flagrante delicto when you transgress that code. Because there is no one person who lives up to their own code of morality. No one person. Furthermore, if you come under the hearing of the Word of God, you are required before God to give heed to it and to submit yourself to it. The very fact that you have heard and read the Bible but do not obey it adds to your condemnation and to your guilt when you stand before the judgment bar of God. When your case comes up for trial, it shall be seen that you have sinned in the face of God's law. And that law, by that law, you shall be condemned. For John 3:18 says, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemned already, in flagrante delicto, in blazing offense, caught in the very act. Now follow along with me in our text. And I will be getting back to the first part of verse 12, but I want to look at the second part of verse 12 and verse 13 first. Those with the law. Those with the law. Now remember, Paul is seeking to prove everyone's guilt. Those with the law. The latter part of verse 12. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by that law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So friends, this morning, having the law does not justify. The Jewish people, they have the law, but they don't obey the law. They have the whole Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. Having the law does not justify. The mainline Christian church, they have the Bible, but they don't obey it. You know, there are churches in our land, there are churches in our state that claim to be churches. But you could sit in that church and you couldn't get saved because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not preached there. Because they deny the very Bible that they preach from, which makes no sense to me. Thank God for churches that do preach the gospel. And thank God there are many of those, and we're thankful for that. But friends, there are churches today where even the leadership of the churches are not saved. Having the law does not justify. Hearing the law does not justify. The Tanakh, the Jewish Bible, what we would call the Old Testament. And if you're witnessing to a Jewish person, don't call their Bible the Old Testament. Okay? They don't have the New Testament. It's their Bible. Call it the Bible. Call it the Word of God. But the Tanakh is read in synagogues every Sabbath day and throughout the week and holy days and every year at Passover. And I don't know if you've ever been to a Seder meal with a Jewish family, but the gospel is there. And they hear it. Hearing the law does not justify. The Bible is read in mainline churches, and many mainline churches repeat it during their services, the Lord's Prayer and things like that. The 23rd Psalm, there's usually responsive readings. And these people hear the gospel. But hearing the law does not justify. So what justifies? Hearkening unto the law does justify. Look at Deuteronomy. Go back to the fifth book in the Old Testament. the last book of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 5, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Get to Joshua, you went too far. Verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep them. And what's the last phrase? Do them. Notice the words there in verse 5. Hear, learn, keep, do. We have to hear it. Hearing the word of God is good. Hearing the law is good. We must learn it. But we need to keep it and do it. Look what the Bible says, please, in James chapter 1. Very familiar passage of Scripture for us. James chapter 1, starting in verse 22. The Bible says, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of that work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So what is the key? The key is hearkening. The key is obedience. Having the law, hearing the law is not enough, but obeying the law. For the one who has and hears the word of God, but does not obey it, they will be judged by that word and perish for all eternity. That's what Paul says. Now notice those without the law. We dealt with those with the law. Now what about those without the law? For this, we'll go back to the first part of verse 12 and we'll skip down to verse 14. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. Verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Those without the law. Now, the nature of this law is witnessed by their conduct. It says, when they do by nature the things contained in the law, even though they don't have the law, but they have the law of God written in their hearts, taking us back to Romans 1. 18 to 20, they have this law, they have a conscience, they know thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, even though they don't have it, but it's written in their hearts. Why do your children, now again, we know a conscience can be seared, and there are people today who live on planet Earth who don't even think anything about their sin because their conscience has been seared. But why do your children, if they're doing something wrong, often look over their shoulder? Why do you, if you do something wrong, often look over your shoulder? Because this law is written. They do by nature the things contained in the law. Man knows it's wrong to murder, to lie, to cheat, to steal. It's witnessed by their conscience. It's written in their hearts. They know right from wrong. Where does that come from? It comes from God. It's His witness of Himself to man. It's witnessed by their concepts and their thoughts. You know, it all starts in their mind. Should I do this? No, I really shouldn't do this. It's wrong. Where does that thought come from? It comes from the law that's written in their heart. Friends, for the one who does not have or hear the word of God, they will likewise perish because they do not hearken to the law written on their hearts. So whether who Paul is writing to here, whether you're a Jewish person who has the law, in today's world, whether you're the person who is aware of the Word of God, you have it, you hear it, but you don't obey it, you will perish. The person who does not have that law, this answers the question that we often get asked. Well, what about the person in the jungle who's never heard the gospel? They likewise will perish. Why is that? Because they have not obeyed the law written in their hearts. They've sinned against their conscience. They've sinned against the God of nature, where Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1 that rather than worshiping the Creator, they worship the creature. And remember, we're in the courtroom. What is Paul seeking to do? Prove everyone's guilt. And in our gospel presentation, the first thing we have to do is prove the person we're witnessing to their guilt. You've got to get them lost before they can be saved. For the one who does not have or hears the word of God, they likewise will perish because they did not hearken to the law written in their hearts. Romans 1, 18 to 20. Look at with me verse 16. The judge of both. So those without the law, those with the law. The judge of both, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now you'll notice verses 13 through 15 is parenthetical. So Paul uses the parentheses to kind of explain what he's saying. So follow with me. I'm going to read verse 12 and then skip right down to verse 16, and we really don't lose the thought. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And those three verses in between kind of explain that, in that parenthetical and thought. So the judge of both. Notice there is a set judgment. In the day, there is coming a day when those who have sinned with the law and without law, those who have not come to Christ, those who have not been obedient to God's word, in the day, there's coming a day when they will be judged. We call it the Great White Throne. We'll look at it in a moment. It's a set judgment. But it's also a sure judgment. Where it says following that, in the day when God shall judge. So friends, whether you believe it or not, whether you believe it or not, you are going to stand before God as your judge. Now, for those of us who know Christ as our Savior, we still will stand before God, but it will be a different place, a different time, And we will stand before Him clothed in Christ's righteousness. We will stand before Him with Christ as our advocate. We still have to answer for our life, but our eternal destiny is not in jeopardy. A set judgment, a sure judgment, a searching judgment. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. Isn't that frightening? The secrets of men. I got away with it. Nobody knows I did this. I'm sure there are a lot of crimes that have gone unpunished. No one knew about. But there's a day coming that will surely come when God will judge not only what was in the open, but the secrets. It's in your heart. Isn't that frightening? Who knows? What two people know what's in your heart? God and I know what's in my heart. I know how wicked my heart is. I praise God that I've trusted Him as my Savior. A set judgment, a sure judgment, a searching judgment, a sovereign judgment. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. We will stand. People will stand before the Lord Jesus Himself. And it's a scriptural judgment where the Bible says, according to my gospel. Open your Bibles to Revelation 20. Friends, there's coming a day when all the unsaved, those with the law, those without the law, will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ as their judge, and they will perish into everlasting torment. Chronologically, Revelation 20, verses 11 to 12, it's called the Great White Throne of Judgment. And it's the very last thing to take place on planet Earth. If you follow the chronology of Revelation, the rapture has already happened and the church is taken into heaven. The seven-year tribulation has already happened. The Battle of Armageddon has already happened, where the Lord Jesus Himself and the armies of heaven, which includes us, descend back to the earth. And as the Lord promised when He left in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, He'll so come again. He comes again and He rescues Israel and He sets up His millennial kingdom, thousand-year reign on earth. And the last thing to take place before a new heaven and a new earth, Revelation chapter 21, the last thing to take place is the great white throne judgment. And the Bible says in verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great." God is no respecter of persons. "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Now I want to stop for a moment. Someone walks up to God's judgment bar, and the books are open. And the first book that's opened is the book of life. The person standing there, this is how I envision this, is asked their name. "My name is Joseph Jones." And they look in the book of life, and his name is not there. So the other books are open, and he is judged by his works. In verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. What does Jesus tell Nicodemus in John chapter 3? Ye must be born again. We have to be born twice. For if we're not born twice, we'll die twice. We'll die physically. We'll die spiritually, which is eternally. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's coming a day, friends, when the unsaved, whether you have a Bible or not, will be judged. They'll be judged either by that law, or they'll be judged by the law in their hearts, which they've sinned against. But you say to me, Pastor, I'm already saved. Why do I need to hear this? Because it's part of the gospel that we declare. It is truth we need to know as we declare the gospel to the people we know are believing the lie, whatever the lie is. I hear people say, I'm okay. Really? I'm good. I've got my religion, you've got yours. Some of them don't even believe. It's vital for the unsaved that we come in contact with to know that they are in flagrante delicto. They are condemned already. Right now. If you are here without Jesus Christ, you are right now condemned. God said it. I didn't say it. So trust Him as your Savior. What saves a person who is in flagrante delicto, who is already condemned? What saves that person from standing before the judgment bar of God? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Who Paul says, it's my gospel. Who I can say, it's my gospel. And I hope you can say, it's your gospel. Why? Because you've believed it. I believe that Jesus died for my sin. I believe that Jesus paid the wrath of God that I was due for me. I believe He died, He was buried, and I believe He rose again. He came back to life. Why? There's no hope in a dead Savior. And I believe that. And I'm basing and counting my eternity on that. Not on any good works that I do, because I can't do any good works. I'm condemned already. You are condemned already. Accept that fact and throw yourself on the mercy of the court and ask God to save you. And friends, for everyone here today, if you're not saved by hearing this word preached, you are even now more guilty if you don't accept. And your hell will be that much worse. And I am sure that in hell we have memory and recollection, because with Lazarus and the rich man, he remembered. And I'm sure there will be days when you remember and you regret for all eternity you didn't trust Christ. It's simple. Call out on God to save you, and He will. No strings attached. I don't care how bad or how good you are. You're condemned. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Close by opening your Bible to that very famous passage, John 3, but I want to read 3 verses, 16 through 18. For God so loved the world. Isn't that wonderful? God loves us. For God so loved the world. How did He prove that love? That He gave His only begotten Son. Why did He give His Son? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Why didn't Jesus come to condemn the world? Because the world was condemned already. Thank you, Adam and Eve. We're in flagrante delicto. We're condemned already. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. He that believeth, verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. If you believe, you're not condemned. There's the escape. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Very simple, friends. The line in the sand, if you will, is belief in Christ as the Savior. If you believe that, praise God, you're not condemned. If you don't believe that, you are condemned. And you not only deserve hell, but you will be going there. Oh, friends, you're condemned. We've been to court. We've been found guilty. We've been proven guilty. And the Lord Jesus is pleading. And God's love and grace and mercy is pleading to trust Him. If you're here today without Christ, would you do that? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor, I'm lost. I need to be saved. I realize my guilt. If you're here today without Christ, and you want to trust Him as your Savior, with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Christian friends, you got to know this. You got to know this. We have to share this with a world that is lost. This is truth. Although it's not politically correct, although it's not believed, even in quote-unquote Christian circles, this is truth. Let's go out and share that gospel. Lord God, I pray for everyone in the sound of my voice. Father, Your word is truth. And Your word, we have read, that is said, we are already condemned if we don't know Christ. And Lord, sadly, I'm sure there's people in this room right now that are already condemned. And if they don't trust Christ as their Savior, they will stand before You at the great white throne of judgment. And it will be too late. May they call on You today. And for those of us who know You, we thank You, we praise Your glorious name for saving us. But Lord, make this our gospel that we spread in Jesus' name.